Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. President Reagan heads for New York this morning to address the United Nations General Assembly, carrying in his pocket a tentative nuclear arms agreement with the Soviet Union. Terrence Smith reports from UN headquarters.
The president had intended to focus on the Persian Gulf, but after the dramatic conclusion of last week's negotiations with the Soviet foreign minister in Washington, arms control and superpower relations have become the prime topics. In effect, he'll be making a report to the world community on his hopes for an arms control agreement and a summit with Mikhail Gorbachev. White House aides say the president will adopt a balanced tone in talking about the Soviets. He'll mix some familiar criticism with his belief that the West should try to capitalize on recent improvements in Soviet behavior. On other issues, the president is expected to call for a UN-sponsored arms embargo to end the Iran-Iraq war, something the Soviets and some of the allies have been resisting. He'll also use the speech to put additional pressure on the Sandinista government in Nicaragua to comply with the terms of the Central American peace plan. But the central theme will be a Reagan favorite, the spread of democracy throughout the world and the need to encourage it. Terrence Smith, CBS News at the United Nations.
The Persian Gulf War will generate a lot of rhetoric at the United Nations this week, but as Bert Quitt reports from the Gulf, the UN ceasefire call seems far from becoming a reality.
In the Gulf, it's back to war as usual. For a few days, while the UN Secretary General was trying to make peace in Tehran and Baghdad, the tanker lanes were quiet. Then over the weekend, the old cycle of strike and retaliate resumed, with the Iraqis hitting a Cypriot ship shuttling between Iranian oil terminals and yesterday an Iranian tanker at the big Karg Island terminal. Iranian Revolutionary Guards caused minor damage to a Saudi Arabian tanker with machine gun fire. Arab League nations, most of which side with Iraq, had given Iran until yesterday to agree to a ceasefire. But when that deadline came and went, they backed down on a threat to break relations with Iran, leaving it to an Arab summit meeting in November to decide what action, if any, to take. Bert Quinn, CBS News, in the Gulf.
After 35 hours of questioning Supreme Court nominee Robert Bork, the Senate Judiciary Committee today starts hearing from a long line of witnesses, both for and against his confirmation. Leaders of the American Bar Association, though sharply divided on Bork, will bestow on him its highest rating. John Buchanan of People for the American Way is a leader of the anti-Bork movement.
The fact is that when every major battle of civil rights was fought, Judge Bork was on the wrong side.
Several past attorneys general will testify on behalf of Bork, as will Carla Hills, the Ford administration housing secretary, who approves of his decisions as an appellate judge.
They certainly have a sensitivity to equal opportunity for women. I think we have a splendid candidate who can do nothing but good for women in the future.
Four committee members say they're still undecided on Bork's confirmation. It's just possible football fans may have enjoyed their last real gridiron Sunday of the 87-88 season. Harold Dow reports on the looming players' strike.
A National Football League players' strike appears to be a virtual certainty. Nobody's talking, so the players may be walking, says the head of the players' union, Gene Upshaw.
We can't compromise anymore. We can't do it alone. We cannot reach an agreement by ourselves. We need help from the other side to reach an agreement.
If they do walk out tomorrow as planned, everyone will lose. Management, the fans, and the players. Tony Dorsett of the Dallas Cowboys.
To myself, to answer that question, no, it's not worth it for me, but for a lot of the young players, maybe it's going to be something that's going to be worked out that can make their lives much better and careers much better along the way.
This time, the big issue, Upshaw says, is whether a player can be a free agent.
At some point in time, a player should be free to negotiate and pick where he wants to work. And it has nothing to do with money. It only has to do with a player having a choice in where he works.
Management, of course, disagrees with that theory and will try to put uniforms on any players they can find. But some season ticket holders may not go along with that kind of program.
If I want to see skins and shirts, I can go to some vacant lot and see them. I'm paying to see NFL football here.
Unless there is a settlement within the next 24 hours, this year's football season may end abruptly. And for the second time this decade, National Football League players won't be playing. They will be walking the picket line. Harold Dow, CBS News, New York.
The Chicago Teachers Union has rejected the latest school board offer to end their 14-day strike. While talks continue in the nation's third biggest school system, there's no end in sight to the walkout that's delayed the start of school for 430,000 students. School finally opens in Detroit tomorrow. After a weekend ratification vote by striking teachers, they go back to work today. The Reagan administration has reportedly decided to raise at least five floors of its new but bug-infested Moscow embassy building and rebuild them, this time free of KGB listening devices. The New York Times reports this will cost at least $82 million. As part of his pledge under the Central American Peace Plan, Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega has approved the reopening of a newspaper he shut down 15 months ago as an alleged Reagan mouthpiece. Scott Wallace reports from Managua.
News of the reopening of the opposition daily La Prensa has stirred enthusiasm among a people wary of war. On the streets here in Managua, people say they hope the move will help bring about an end to the armed conflict with the Contra rebels, which so far has claimed some 40,000 lives, according to government figures. But if the guns ever do fall silent on the battlefield, the propaganda war is certain to heat up. With an uncensored opposition newspaper in the streets and the freedom to assemble and strike to be restored by November, the Sandinistas will have to step lively to hold on to what support they have. They hope this open political climate will persuade the U.S. Congress to shut off aid to the Contras. And if that does happen, the Sandinistas will try to coax the rebels down from the mountains and into the mainstream of Nicaraguan politics. Scott Wallace for CBS News, Managua.
Japan's Emperor Hirohito, 86 years old, is to undergo surgery tomorrow to correct an intestinal blockage. He's the world's longest reigning monarch. U.S. Health Secretary Otis Bowen is due to testify on Capitol Hill this morning that the Reagan administration will fight legislation to protect AIDS victims from discrimination. Bowen explaining it's better for the states to pass such laws. Former Church Secretary Jessica Hahn is appearing this morning before a federal grand jury in Charlotte, North Carolina, about the $265,000 in hush money she was paid after her sexual encounter with PTL founder Jim Baker. His lawyer says Hahn's credibility was undermined when she posed for Playboy. It was 15 years ago that former Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos imposed martial law. Now at least one senior military commander is urging President Corazon Aquino to do likewise if political violence increases. Meanwhile, three army generals and at least eight colonels were stripped of their commands for their alleged involvement in the failed coup attempt in late August. Consumer spending was up 1.5% last month, the biggest gain in 6 months. Personal income in August rose a healthy 1.5%. Make that 0.5%. The dollar's a bit stronger in overseas trading. Gold is off nearly $2, with the London fixing $458.85 an ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead at this hour over 23 points at 2547.65. It's 7:10.